Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Saturday Morning Brew with Billy Jaffe and Andrew Razor Raycroft on WEEI.
Well, sometimes things come at you fast. I will admit the open caught me a teeny bit off guard, but that's only because, you know, sliding into the seat just a minute or two before. It is Saturday. It's a chilly, but not cold, Saturday. Are you a believer in heat turned on in the house before November 1st? I'm not. I fight it. Last year, I failed. I'm going to have to do it today, I think, because my mother-in-law, lover, is coming, and sister-in-law, and I think my wife will kill me if the heat isn't on.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we stand in the... I'm fine. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with being cold in the morning.
Yeah, I if it was just me, I might not have the heat on all winter, but I have no chance in my house to not turn the heat on.
Is it already magic?
Oh yeah, magically appears on. Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely. It's been on. The heat's on at like it's probably the thermostat set at like 67. You know, like it's not like hot.
Okay,
but it won't be allowed to go down really cold in the middle of the night.
So that's, you're already spending some of that EA Sports money.
Yeah, 100%.
That GM of the year money.
That was spent before I got it in my house, yeah.
But it feels good. It does. This is the best weather time of the year. I mean, who doesn't love spring too, right? When all of a sudden 59 degrees feels warm,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's the opposite. But it feels great, and for us, because we're hockey guys, we love this. I love the time where you drive by a rink. I go right by Daly Rink, as you do too. You know, by the way, I kind of get misty-eyed a little bit at 7:45 in the morning going by Daly Rink because that's where it all began.
Yeah, I thought about that this morning. Like, it would be really fun to have a 5 or 6 or 7 year old kiddo.
Yeah, without
out there
the responsibility
right
of having a 5, 6, or 7.
Yeah, just for an hour and a half out there and then leave them at
Yeah,
Daly
it was the best. You could yell at them and they actually thought it was funny.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and they didn't care.
Yeah.
It's the learn to play going on there. And then it's hockey time and it's other fall sport times too. So we got a lot of people listening, driving around, heading to fall sports and early winter and have fun and good luck at those today. But it is Saturday morning, so that means it's Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. And holy smokes, how things have changed.
Tough 8 days.
It's been a tough 8 days. So last time we sat in these chairs and behind these mics and talked to you folks about the Boston Bruins, they were heading into a Saturday game in Colorado, then a Sunday game in Utah, and then they came back home for a Tuesday against Florida and a Thursday game as well at home against Anaheim, and the losing streak continued. 0-4, now 0-6 on the year, 3-6. How different it feels though, and you can tell by the response or comments post game of some of the Boston Bruins, and not very not very positive anymore. We had some positivity to make of it, you know, going in to last week still. Hey, all right, tough road trip, but you're going to be all right. But after the loss to Anaheim the other night, this was what a couple of guys had to say.
Letting in 6 goals, 7 in total, I'm embarrassed. We should all be.
Just not being ready, I guess. I mean, it happens every game, it seems, and our coaches prepare us with everything we need for the game, and, I mean, it's just embarrassing to fans, to everybody. I mean, it's just like everything's poor.
But this is devastating, the way we're losing these games. It's just, it's killing us. We're fighting so hard, and we just can't stop beating ourselves. It's pretty defeating right now.
I mean, it's embarrassing. It's not how we want to play and how we should play. We're going to find a way to shut it down because before it gets too late.
I don't think anything more needs to be really said about that, but you can tell the legit angst, pissed offness, if that's a term. Hope it is now. And you got some unhappy guys there, but they got to do something about it. It's that simple. And Razor, it's momentary lapse of, I don't know, man.
Well, it's, yeah, defensive failure.
Basically. But it isn't even more than, I mean, it isn't even more, it's this momentary loss because just in the last couple of games I just went through, I think it's the last 2 games, 3 times, partner, they've given up goals under just a couple of minutes, like 3 or 4 minutes, I think it is, since either they tied or took the lead. And we're talking late in the game stuff too, right? Like, it's not just defensive failure. It's like all area of the ice. I know it comes out as defensive. And what I mean by all area of the ice, I mean, defense doesn't just start in your own zone. It's neutral zone stuff. It's, you know, how against Florida does Verhaeghe get in on a 3-on-2, you know, into the middle of the ice? And how against Anaheim? And I guess this is a legit distinct defensive zone failure, but how does Troy Terry get alone in front of the net?
It's crazy. They have to figure out what they are, man-on-man zone. They have to – they're not seeing it right now.
But they did the first few games. And that is so okay, great comment, great lead in for this. Is that because antennas were up and they were, you know, it's like all kidding aside, like that little kid who's listening to everything the coach says to 100%, 110%. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because I want to play, I want to show them I'm listening. We had a great camp, all for one, one for all. And then 3-0 happens and we're going to start improvising? What happens?
No, I think what happens is other teams get tape of what you're doing, and they find.
So it's the adjustment factor.
Correct. This is it. We said this at the start. We said this after 3 games. We said this is great.
We said this in training camp.
We said this is great. Marco Sturm has them extremely prepared. They're right on. I used the NFL analogy in this situation that the first 10 plays are scripted, and you go out there, and as a bad football team, you can go and sling it around, and then the other team makes an adjustment, and if you can't make that adjustment at halftime better than the other team, you lose games.
Yep.
And that's what's happened here. Teams have made adjustments. Teams have figured out where the soft areas
exactly.
are in the defensive zone, yep. where pucks need to
go. And the neutral zone.
And the neutral zone, and how to open them up. And the Bruins players haven't adjusted back yet.
What about the Bruins coaching?
And the coaching staff's trying to get them to adjust back, but he hasn't figured out how to do that yet either, is my assumption. And or they are coming to the realization they have to make an adjustment. That has to be, after that Anaheim game, if they hadn't been making adjustments and saying, just keep doing what we're doing, they have to make a little bit of an adjustment and have to make sure everyone gets on the same page. Because that last goal was... You could freeze frame that in within 30 seconds of that shift, probably 25 seconds of that. That middle of the ice is completely open.
Yeah.
We have 3 forwards above the top of the circles. And like it just wasn't good. And
well, you had 3 forwards above the top of the circles, but then you also had 2 defensemen
going to one
corner. And even though it was McAvoy and Lowry, they had switched sides. That's going to happen. Lowry was the closer one to... Was it Nestoranko? Forgive
yes.
me. Okay,
yeah.
And but then McAvoy was, instead of 8 feet away layering and taking, or 6 feet away watching middle ice net front, he had gotten too close. He was about 2 feet away. You could actually see him almost push low right, meaning like towards that guy to close. But by that time, the puck was through the feet of not one but 2 defenders and Troy Terry standing in front of the net with a one-on-one with Korpisalo.
Yeah, and the question is whose guy is that? I think they had that question on the ice. I have that question for who is that guy? Technically, if it's man on man, it's McAvoy's. What? Because was Lowry supposed to switch like he did? Or was Lowry switching too late?
I would tell you, okay, all valid questions. I would say, though, but D zone low, unless I'm missing something, is more of a zone. So whoever's closest to that zone covers that zone.
Yeah. But so again, like there's tons of rules to this, right? And that we're talking, like, I'm not telling you something you don't know. There's tons of rules within these. Like McAvoy goes up with the guy, and it was the bad bounce that blew everything up off the bench. But McAvoy's following that guy high to the top of the circle.
That's where the issues is coming.
So now, once he goes up there, is it still zone or is it man on man while he's up there?
No, when he's
back to the front of the net, that's.
I think the rule of thumb is I learned and have been taught, you know, especially now that we're seeing more of this, is up high. Let's call it half wall or above the faceoff circles. It's man on man. Below, you go back to a zone structure.
Yeah,
and they're the read, but they're screwing up on the handoff and the transition from D zone to down low zone. Up to man on man. We've seen that a few times.
Like
now.
The Gutter Gauthier goal in the second.
The Gutter Gauthier goal was
wide open in the slot because they rotate through and they don't know who's who.
Right. Well, that wasn't the Pasta goal, was it? The one where he just completely allowed it coming in from the right point area.
Maybe it was. That was the other one. And then VL got Trouba.
Well, VL was
the other side, right. The left side. So again, these are D zone. Like this is big time.
I should have reminded you earlier, folks, we will take some calls, 617-779-7937. We have the capabilities of doing that here. It's a wonderful little thing that we can do. We're going to have some calls, but we're going to be talking for a bit first here on this Saturday Morning Brew with Chaffee and Razor. There is a lot of question about that structure again. And if they don't come out with structure an aggressive nature. And by the way, they did against Anaheim. To the credit, they did. They came out pretty damn good, right?
Yep.
Pretty energetic in contrast to some of the previous games. The Florida game, I know they traveled, Razor. I respect it. You know, you see businessmen are just traveling on, you know, a few days that aren't getting chased around on the ice by guys with sticks and elbows, et cetera, and everybody and business people, and you're tired. You're tired, right? You're tired. You come home and you're like, I didn't feel good on that call, on that sales call or whatever, because you're just tired. I get that the Bruins were tired coming back off the road. Everybody's going through it this year. The schedules are crazy. But you would have thought the emotion, especially early on against Florida, take also into consideration the Marchand return. Maybe that worked against them, the emotion of that. Maybe it was too much or whatever. But that was flat until late in the game. And then, oh my, we've had just too many oh my's in the last 10 days. And it's not getting any easier. The schedule, as you've brought up numerous times, is only, especially this month, starting with the Colorado game today, which, by the way, folks, 3 o'clock faceoff, 2 o'clock on Nesson, Colorado Avalanche coming to town, I'm assuming not wearing their old-fashioned Quebec Nordique sweaters like they did last game, which looks sharp. Not sure I completely get it anymore, but,
I don't think
I get it anymore. They're not the Nordiques, but okay, we're right.
Well, actually,
it's jersey sales. I get it.
The issue for me was the Nordique and the Whalers at the same time. Like, everyone went crazy about it. It kind of annoyed me a little bit.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I don't mind them do it one-off separate, but they shouldn't play them together. That's insulting to Quebec and Hartford.
Last game, by the way, folks, if you're not knowing what we're talking about, last game in Denver, which was two nights ago, Colorado wore the Nordique sweater, the blue ones, beautiful blue, and Carolina wore the white and green and blue Whaler sweater, which, by the way, 4-1 lead for Carolina, only to see it lost in the third, tied up 4-4, and then Carolina wins in a shootout. But here's the point. 5 games today. Today starts another 5 games in 8 days, and it's actually less than 8 days because we have the matinee, and then we have a matinee next Saturday again against the aforementioned Carolina, don't call me Hartford, Whalers. Or call me Hartford if you want to.
Yeah, 8-12? Is that what we're dealing with right now? Just double checking.
It's either 8-12 and 13. Technically 13, but it's 8-12.
8-12, 8-13 technically. That's nuts. It's with the West Coast swing dropped in there. And the problem is, that's what you say, man, how fast did this happen? It did happen. It happened in 8 days.
Right.
It's very hard to lose five games in 8 days because it's very hard to play five games, let alone lose them all.
Right, with travel and everything.
So this has happened really quickly. Again, typically for a team that's trying to make adjustments, trying to figure out their game, typically they would have three games in these 8 days and have some practice time to do it. That has not helped a team that is struggling and unsure of themselves in this schedule. It really has made things exponentially worse.
But other teams have played 8 games, 9 games as well. So other teams
some have,
are there.
Some haven't, though.
Yeah, like, some haven't. No,
they got unlucky a little bit in that way.
The only thing that happened faster is watching you eat chipper. You haven't had it in a while. Maybe because you eat it too fast. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. When we come back, we got a lot of players to talk about. Whether it's Hampus Lindholm, David Pastrnak, the depth. I mean, we got so many things to get over. But now, before we get to break, I got to tell you that coming up next, it's going to be our guy David Azar. He's going to tell you what's trending. This is Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We continue with Saturday Morning Brew, hosted by Billy Jaffe and Andrew Razor Raycroft on WEEI.
All right, welcome back. Saturday morning, getting set for the Bruins a little later today. Again, 2 o'clock pre on Nesson, 3 o'clock face-off, taking on the Colorado Avalanche, led by Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar. But don't look past Valeri Nichushkin or Martin Natchez. Those two guys have been both on fire, both big, long. One's a locomotive engine in Nichushkin, and one's kind of like a gazelle in Natchez. What do they do with Marty Natchez? Do they sign him? Do they trade him again? He was the player traded for Mikko Rantanen last year, folks. That whole crazy scenario there.
Well, it feels like Colorado has to sign him to square off the Rantanen deal and just keep them whole. But Marty Natchez has all the cards right now, especially with salaries going up and what the summer. He could be the only guy in the summer.
It looks like it. Yeah.
At this point, everybody's been on their team long term. He's the only one who's only been to a place for 1 year as a UFA, so he could be $15 million in the summer.
Ooh, yeah.
I know, but someone might ratchet it to that.
Well,
12, 13, 14.
They might want to rethink their ratchet.
Yeah.
No. I love the guy, but you know, I'm sure Colorado's looking and saying, do we win? If we win, then we're in, meaning they get back to the promised land of winning a cup.
Yeah, they might be willing to just let it ride.
Yeah. Yeah, if they don't, and then they sign up and things don't work out, then you're locked in for another 7 years.
Correct.
Interesting. All right, so seriously, there's so many directions we can go in. I mean, we've seen players scratch. Casey Mittelstadt comes back, a couple of assists, gets involved, goal. I guess that's worked so far. I think we know what he is, or perhaps what he isn't.
Yep.
To his credit, he's come back, right?
And that's right.
After being scratched earlier in the week and playing the last couple and done his job.
So and he's on the wing now, and yeah. it slides. He's got 5 points in 8 games. You'll take 52 points from him this season and say it was a solid year. Right. Like that's
the reason he can go to the wing is because Pavel Zacha can play middle,
yeah.
arguably better in the middle than on the wing, too.
Yep.
But it's still not what you need from a second line.
No.
It isn't no. When it's all said. And I don't think we've ever, you know, made bones about that before. But what do you like? All right, so assuming that that's repaired, what do you? I mean, they're keeping Arvidsson on the right side there for now. They bumped him down the other two games ago, bring him back up. Where does that go? That right? Is it? You know, I guess I'm getting at this. Fabian Lysell's putting up points in the American League. By the way, P Bruins are 5-0. If you have a chance, folks, go watch them. It's 50 minutes from here if you're in this Boston area. If even closer if you're, you know, down that way. They're playing well so far. Good team. And it's not just Lysell, but he's the guy that's doing his job. I'm actually a believer in, you know, you can control very little anymore in the NHL from a coaching standpoint, even manager, you know, if you got one-way contracts, et cetera, all this. But you can make a move or two, Razor. I mean, it's not too – you benched Mittelstadt. That's rattling things a bit. What's the big deal about calling somebody up right now? I'll ask you.
Well, the only issue calling people up is who's waiver eligible and roster spot. That the plumbing of it is more difficult than just doing it, right? That's the only thing for me. I don't know enough about capology but on the surface of, okay, do you want to get people's attention? You call someone up. That was the old school mentality. You did that. That's when I played. That's what happened. No question.
Somebody was getting a call. Somebody's in the room. Yeah.
Thursday night, as soon as that sixth goal went in, someone was getting a call to come up and rattle the room and be uncomfortable as a young guy because everyone hates you because you're there Friday morning.
Right, Friday morning you're at practice and you keep your eyes down.
And you go out there and you got guys cross-checking you in the corner and they're going after you because they're mad at everybody else. That's how it used to be.
Because you're there to take their job.
Correct, 100%. You couldn't wait to eat their
meal. Something to be said for that.
Yeah, like you'd be in the minors hoping the team in the NHL lost. That's how it worked.
Right.
Like you couldn't wait for them to lose 7-0 because someone was getting a call,
right?
And someone was going to play in the NHL the next game. So but it's changed. It's just different. And I quite honestly don't know the business side of it well enough to know how much one call up affects it. But we're there. I think the roster will not be the same today as it was Thursday night.
We don't know because yesterday at practice, Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov didn't skate. Mm-hmm. The words were that they're expected to be ready for today. And it could have just been maintenance day.
Zadorov went down hard in the backcourt. Like both of those guys were lucky they got off the ice.
Right. Both of them suffered impactful plays.
Correct, yeah.
or skate played through in that game. Now, you just hope, again, it's that one day of getting a massage, resetting, cold tub, whatever it is, treatment, and they're all right. We don't know about still is Hampus Lindholm. And this has now been a week longer almost of game time decision. It was a week ago that he played. Right?
Yeah, he's got hopefully for the Bruins' sake that he's playing. Because again, it's very, you can see how much opens up and just where everyone's playing. It just throws everything off on the back end. And they could really use him. He looked great on the ice the last few days. I know that doesn't translate into NHL hockey, but
But it's not like he's holding back in practice.
Oh, no. It doesn't look like there's any hold back at all. No. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's a conundrum. If, you know, again, if he's not, then it's obviously a lot more than just a very minor thing if he's not in the lineup today.
Yeah.
Fair?
Fair.
It's, you know, again, the Bruins coming up another stretch of 5 and 7.5 days today in Boston. Then they go on the road Monday to Ottawa. Then they're back home Tuesday against the Islanders. And then what, they got games Thursday, Saturday again at home.
Yeah. It's crazy. It doesn't let up. It's relentless. The schedule is relentless, and three back-to-backs in 3 weeks is...
So the only question, let's just assume, hope that Zadorov is in. And by the way, he's been their best defenseman this early season through 9, and I don't even know if it's close.
I don't think it's close.
I don't think it's close.
He's been awesome.
And He has. Yep. To his credit, he has reimagined or reset himself since a very difficult and self, you know, he didn't help himself the first part of last season, but the second half and then early on here, he has reset. And you're seeing out of Nikita Zadorov what, well, people saw many years ago when he was a first-round pick of the Buffalo Sabres, but then there have been a couple of times throughout his career where people would say, that's what we need. And so he gets traded again. It's not like he's only been on one team. He's been, what is it, five teams now, I believe? So you're seeing that, like, we're seeing what we saw with Vancouver in the playoffs, a year ago.
Yep. That's what it is. Him rushing, him being offensive, and then just not taking penalties and closing guys out.
And crushing guys.
Yeah. Hammering.
So he's been great. So let's assume he's in, and let's assume that Elias is in. Okay? We don't know about Hampus, but you got Husnadinov, who was out, and Beecher that was out last game. Both left shots. Husnadinov, I guess, can play the offside. He can, you know, we've seen a little bit of that. But those are your only moves. But, I'm looking at a second line that needs to become, and they have a few times.
They've scored. I know that's not like, I know what you're saying, but they have scored. That's like,
how much is this, and I'm not trying to discredit them. They're scoring goals. You know, they put up a six spot against Vegas. It was five against Anaheim.
Yeah.
What else am I forgetting? They've put up four and five numerous times. My point is, but the scoring's only going to get tougher. It's just, you talk about video and everybody's seeing it, but it's the structure. I don't know if, I'll contradict myself here. I don't know if Fabian Lizell's going to help you with your D-zone structure.
Yeah.
But it does make a statement if you bring up somebody, and it might not work. I get it. But I think it's getting late very early for this team. And by the way, we talked about making playoffs would be the high end for this team. High end when the season began, right? We didn't sit here and say, there are this and that. It would be everything had to go right. So I'm not sitting here pining for the playoffs because then you just kind of get caught in the middle. But I'm pining for just something different because Marco Sturm has said it a few times. There's not enough guys on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be some change.
No, and six losses is just, like that's not competitive. That's the issue too. Even though they have been in all these 5-1 goal games, basically, but it's the competitiveness and the fact that you've lost six in a row. That's what creates all this urgency and chaos.
So last game, post game, Marco Sturm had this to say though.
It's first of all, it's early in the year. There's a roster limit I have, you know, not too many changes will be made. You can tweak a few things, but that's about it. So I'm confident enough that this is the guys we can get or we got to get out of it. But I don't think too many changes can be made. Let's be honest, right? So the guys in here, including me, the guys in this room, we have to fix it. We can't control anything else.
Okay. I mean, we get that. However, I mean, that was a interesting comment, you know, as well, because does that rule out a call-up? I don't know if that does. Maybe it rules it out for now, Razor. But, you know, you take it as if to say, you know, we're limited in many ways. Am I missing anything on that?
No, I guess it depends on the question, but I think it was more directed like, are you going to call? No, we're not calling anybody up because it's early in the season and the NHL doesn't work like that. I have to get these guys that we have to figure this out. That's what I heard through that. And whether they're getting it or not right now is on me to make it better.
Long meeting, I'm told yesterday, right? They didn't get on the ice till like 11:25 or
oh, really?
So. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, they didn't. I wasn't able to make practice yesterday. My apologies. But it was about, I think it was 25, maybe even a few minutes past that, where they finally came out onto the ice. So meeting must have been a lot of video.
Yeah.
An awful lot. But they were doing this. Like, you know, from top to bottom, from top guys to the guys on the, you know, scratches. They were all doing things early in the season. By the way, Like, and nobody's immune to this, partner. You know, Pastrnak, we applauded him. We lauded him. He was phenomenal first handful of games. We've started to see kind of, you know, a little, you know, the other night on the goal where he's along the wall and then he loses his guy coming in from the right point. And, you know, he hasn't been as physical, nowhere near, right, as he was the first few games. So it's not just we're saying it's just the muckers and grind. It's the entire team that has gone to a different space.
That's right. They've taken some shortcuts and it's cost them. They haven't got consistent performance really from anybody shift over shift over shift outside of that fourth line. And even the fourth line struggled a little bit last game more than they had before that. I wouldn't say.
Which is interesting given that they've played against better teams.
Yes. Anaheim posed problems for them.
Yeah.
It has to be. The NHL is all about consistency. It's all about rolling over lines. It's all about playing the same way for 82 games as much as possible. And unfortunately, the Bruins haven't been able to do that within 60 minutes, let alone game to game. And that's why they're losing by a goal each of these games.
On Saturday mornings, we can take calls 617-779-7937. We'll take one right now as we get close to being at the bottom of this segment. It's Maria in Watertown. Maria, good morning.
Oh, good morning. What a depressing start to the season, fellas.
But what a good show, right? That's what you meant to say, right?
No, you guys are always a good listen, no matter what platform you're on, and I appreciate it. So just a comment and then a couple of questions. The comments from Marco Stern, my interpretation is it sounds like his hands are tied. I don't know if it's a management directive, but it seems like we're going to try and persevere with the lineup that we
have. And maybe they're deciding to keep guys in the American League longer than they have. And maybe that's something that they just say it short-term, so to speak, pain, you know, so to speak, for longer-term game for some of these guys. Maybe. Maybe not, but sorry, go ahead.
So with that being said, is where is the problem? Player buy-in? Is the message not getting through? And a couple of questions. What have you guys thought of Charlie McAvoy's game to start the season? Because I am not impressed. And did the Bruins make a mistake having Lindholm play that one game on the road? Because all we heard all off season was how crucial and critical this player was going to be to this defensive structure. And I don't think anyone in the league, anyone is afraid to play the Boston Bruins right now.
Thanks for the call, Maria. Let's start with the Hampus Lindholm scenario. Player tells you they're good to go. They're good to go.
Yeah.
This is not related to last year's injury. Now, the body, in theory, I guess, you know, resetting to NHL speed, physicality, et cetera, something else. But this is a guy who he worked his ass off all summer. I mean, he trained hard, played hard early in the season, too. I don't think I don't think so. He says he's okay. So maybe that's why it feels like there's a little. We're going to be super, super, super sure that he's ready to go next time, I guess. But, yeah, they need him back. And I don't disagree with Maria. Teams don't look. Although I will tell you this. I will say this. I'm going to disagree with her a little bit. Bruins came out very hard against Anaheim, and I felt like Anaheim, some of their younger players, didn't like some of the Bruins hitting them pretty damn hard. So I know what she's saying, but I do think that there's some still presence by the Bruins if they've got their skating legs going. It leads to physical play.
No, there's still presence there. But when you lose six in a row, of course, no one's really, you know, no one's scared of a team that's lost six in a row other than the law
playing
of averages.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
You're worried about the law of averages. That's it. But game-wise, and I think, again, defensively, excuse me, there's opportunities or there's video that shows opportunities to the Colorado Avalanche today and how to break them down.
McAvoy hasn't been
no,
hasn't been good lately.
He's got to be better.
He's got to be a lot better. We saw a few times, again, like the rest of the team, where we saw him early on taking control of shifts, moving feet, moving puck. I do think he's trying to have more of a shoot-first mentality, at least the last couple games. But otherwise, He had no, I know hits don't always, aren't accurately accrued, you know what I mean, game to game, but none against Florida Razor.
Mm-hmm.
And they and despite the fact he's playing 25, 26, 27 minutes, they still need that.
Yeah, well, that, and I think there's a part of that where he's trying to pace a little bit with the hitting. Like I don't think he's a 27-minute guy.
No, I agree.
You know, I just don't think he is. It works much better when he's 21, 22. There's just he's able to go and chase and be more physical and get on his horse more than at the 27-minute mark. It's just hard for him.
All right, coming up after this break, we're going to talk. I went to the BC game last night.
Oh, really?
And I saw some of the Bruins prospects. We'll talk that. Denver. Yeah, big game. We'll talk about that. I want to talk about a little fighting that's been going on, too. This is Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor on EEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor on WEEI.
All right, last segment here on our Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Don't forget, folks, this will be coming out if you missed the first part of the show or you have to get out and go get your kids' skates tied right now on wherever you catch your podcast, right? And we're on Twitch today. What else are we on? YouTube, I think. Yeah. But we're going to have it out in audio and video for you coming up. So our guy, RC, will take everything that Dave sends and all that stuff. It's a whole process, right? But it seems to be working now, or at least today. I don't want to jinx it, right? Okay. I'm getting a thumbs up.
We have 14 minutes
for you. All right, so 617-779-7937. If you got a call, we'll take a couple of quickies. But we do have one right now. Let's take Chris. Chris is in Marlboro. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, fellas. How you doing? So, listen, this team stinks. We all know that. The thing is, too, you know, Sweeney, you know, we have a lot of bad contracts on this team. That's the number one problem. If our fourth line is the best line, then we got a serious problem for this team. Can't have your fourth line as the best line. They need to, you know, acquire someone, draft someone to play with Pasta, and obviously get a legit number one center. I mean, this team stinks. Defense is horrid, too.
All right, I think he feels better. That was your Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor therapy session, Chris. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, they're not good right now. I mean, again, we didn't sit here and say champion them that when they were 3-0 that they were going to be, you know, not forget 82-0, but I don't even think we thought they would be, you know, whatever. We've said all along, best case for this team is the last spot, probably eighth in the East. And that was, I mean, if everything went beyond perfect. Reality was, we knew that this was a transitional season. How much? I think it's going to get transitionally more important, even more, if they continue to lose. And, I mean, they got a tough Colorado team, one of only two teams in the NHL to not lose in regulation coming in today. We'll see how they are. They had a travel day yesterday. They got a matinee today. Could be a tough game for the Avs, but not if the Bruins don't play well interior defense. It just won't be. But tough schedule in coming up. And again, for this week, if you're just joining us, five games coming up in less than 8 days for the Bruins. And, you know, he's gotten a lot of attention this last week because of his performance against Florida. But you know, Mason Lowry, we were just asked before break about McAvoy. Lowry, McAvoy, the pairing, I know they figured they wanted to get, when everybody's healthy, to spread some things out. Got to be changed, don't you think? I don't know what you do, really, because of the injury again to Hampus, but, I mean, do you go Zadorov and McAvoy? Does that work? Do you like that? I mean, do you go Hampus and McAvoy if, capital I, capital F, Hampus comes back? Where do you go?
Well, it feels like you have to switch them up. You need to free McAvoy a little bit here, but the idea that McAvoy, Lindholm, and Zadorov on three different pairings is ideal, but it feels like they can't do it. It feels like they have to switch it up. Yeah. But you can't do anything unless Lindholm comes back in the lineup, which we just touched on. So it's until we see Lindholm out there, then we can take the next step and figure out how to pair guys off. But I feel like if Lindholm is in the lineup, you might want to go Lindholm McAvoy right out of the gates and see if you can survive a little bit, especially on home ice and get a matchup. But it's tough. You need Mason Lowry to be better. That's a big part of it as well.
He needs to get some real defensive defenseman type training. Uh-huh. You know, and I don't mean one day. This is, you know. He's up here, though. He has to clear waivers now.
No, yeah, he's not. He's up here. And he'll, you know, he's a young D, you know, the whole thing. He's not going anywhere. It's just you need to.
This is going to be not even a crash course. This is a year-long course on resetting that. A couple of numbers. Bruins are averaging 3.22 goals per game. Not bad. Goals against, though, now 3.7. That's sixth most in the NHL. The power play is at 22%. Middle of the pack, 13, 14, if I remember correct. Their PK, 86%, 11th best. Not bad. Middle of the pack as far as shots for, shots against go. One area that's becoming more concerning is, well, they've taken the second most penalty minutes this season in the NHL. And they're tied for the most penalties taken overall at 45. Too many. We're starting to see that come back into the game. Got to get that says to me mental frustration and almost laziness at times. You got to cut that crap out. You have to.
Yeah.
Now, to their credit, they're tied for second for most penalties drawn at 42 this year. Yeah.
It's interesting. I feel like it's like that a lot with the Bruins.
They bring up the best and worst, so to speak.
There's a deep dive. Yeah, there's a deep dive there of referees and home ice and the garden and et cetera. But anyways.
Yeah, but it's too many penalties again lately.
Oh, it is. No. It is.
We saw Tanner Janot fight for the first time the other night against Ross Johnston.
He's tough.
I thought both kids are tough.
Yeah.
Ross Johnston, a behemoth. I mean, what is he, 6'5", 240?
Yeah, he's a lot bigger than Tanner.
Yeah, Tanner's big at 6'2", 225. Both players did quite well in that fight. By the way, I thought they may have a little history because last year they were both in the Pacific. Tanner with L.A., Ross with Anaheim. No, that's the first time, as far as my research shows, that those guys scrapped. Janot seems to have fought mostly against Ryan Reeves wherever he goes all along.
It's a big hand.
Speaking of Ryan Reeves, we've seen a bunch of fights this week, big boy fights. You had Janot and Johnston, Reeves and Rempe. How about that? Yeah, that was a massive brawl. And then you had a fight between Agid Klapka for Calgary, who's 6'8", and Logan Stanley of Winnipeg, 6'7", the other night. The monsters are back.
They are back.
The battleships.
And these guys, they move a lot better than the battleships of the early 2000s, but they're back and they're finding each other.
The battleships of the early 2000s. That Steve McKenna, you remember him?
Of course,
Big Bird. They called him.
Yep, Steve McKenna, Christoph Oliva.
Oliva was another one. Yeah. How about Peter Worrell?
Peter Worrell.
I mean,
these guys were. Yeah, they're killers.
Killers.
Full on killers.
Nuclear deterrence.
Yes, absolutely.
Speaking of big men, I went to the BC. Boston College hockey game last night against Denver. Top 10 matchup. Denver ends up winning after a 2-2 first period. They end up putting up four more. They win 7-3. They made it look not easy, but they took over second and third period. BC has some issues, you can tell. But Dean Letourneau, Bruins first-round pick a couple of rounds years back, metamorphosis. He's become a butterfly. I thought best forward by far on the now. And don't get me wrong, I thought there was a couple of others that BC had that looked pretty good, but you couldn't not notice him in the first period alone. I don't know. I think he only had maybe two on net, but he had five legit touches. Dean Letourneau, looking much better, Razor. That was, if I'm a BC fan or a Bruins fan, that's the most positive thing I took out of the game last night. Andre Gasso, who I like, senior captain, opportunity, scored a goal. But Letourneau, to me, the point worth making, much better.
Great news. That's huge news for everyone involved, especially Dean, who really shouldn't have been in college hockey last year.
Should not.
We had talked about that so much, and everyone looked at the no goals, no assists, but he just shouldn't have been there last season. The jump that he made was like nobody's ever made in hockey, and fortunately that he's got off to the good start, and that's great news to hear that
memory,
especially for you to who has a keen eye to say that he's doing the right things.
He's doing much more the right things. He's involved in the middle. I think it's a 4-game streak for him.
There
point streak. And by the way, Hagan's also with a very nice goal. Very nice goal. But I noticed Letourneau the most. All right. That's going to wrap up this Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Again, this will come out on pod form, so if you missed any of it, wherever you get your pod, check it out. We're going to be out, have it out in just a couple of hours. Bruins have a 2 o'clock pregame, a Nesson 3 o'clock faceoff game against the Colorado Avalanche today. Razor and I will be back with you next. I think we have remote Razor next
week.
Yeah,
next week's remote.
Remote Razor. All right, we're going to have to get a big cutout. It's cardboard of Razor.
That's right.
Over there. David Azer, thank you very much. And the alarm works. Awesome, buddy. Awesome. You back over there. All right. Again, Bruins game today. We will talk to you next week. Thanks for joining Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffer and Razor.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.